Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, my name is VexX, and this is episode number 53 of the Vex on Vex podcast. That's monumental, you see, because today is the first episode of year number two. Assuming, of course, you'll continue to listen, we'll continue to record, and there'll be more shows. Today on the Vex on Vex podcast is my dear friend, Miss Carolyn. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. How are you feeling on this fine day?
Great.
I don't believe you. So Carolyn is really stressed, right? She's like, I don't like my voice, and I don't want to be on the podcast, you know? But she has phenomenal, colorful stories about her work. And we talk off microphone all the time, and they're glorious. And I was like, will you be on the podcast? She's like, no, I don't want to do it. And this is good. It's a bad idea. It's a bad idea for me. And I'm like, no. Be on the podcast. And she's like, okay. So, Miss Carolyn, we appreciate you being a part of the Vex on Vex podcast universe. What do you do for a living without saying where you work, of course?
I'm a tech in the ER.
So you work in the medical field.
Yes.
The ER tech. What does tech mean? Like, you're a technician? Like, explain.
I'm basically the slave of the ER.
Oh, when you say it, you're like, there's such disdain. You're like, I'm the slave.
We do everything a nurse can do except for give meds and start IVs.
Now, education-wise, because I'm not very well-versed in this, you didn't take MCATs for that position, correct?
No.
So what's your level of schooling that you need to be a tech?
I'm state certified as a certified nursing assistant.
Okay.
And then when I went downstairs to the ER, I had to train to draw blood and stuff like that.
The college you attended had nothing to do with this?
No.
Is this one of the things that they play on the Maury Povich show, like in between? Like, you want to get a career? Do this, blah, 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 with your 1 year certificate.
No.
So this is something different.
Yeah.
Explain.
What, my job?
No, the education to get to the job. So you had to take a course.
Oh, you just have to be a CNA, EMT, paramedic, just to get to that level.
So that's, all right, I knew a motorcycle club that were the responders, they were called, and they were all certified CPR. I guess that's the way you would say it. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So, excuse me, I have to clear my throat. Hold on. Don't laugh at my coughing. At any rate, they all had to get CPR certified in order to be a part of this motorcycle organization. And it was asked at me at one point if I wanted to be a member, and I said no, because fuck that. I do my own thing. Rah, you know, I'm not like a part of a club, if you will. But I respected them. They were very good people. They're my friends to this day, actually. I love them to death. And you're on par with that? Or that's
I am CPR certified.
But that's all the schooling required initially?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, it helps if you went to phlebotomy school, but they teach us that.
Okay, that's cool. So, yeah. So technically, the training that you receive now because of the position you have, you're a phlebotomist.
I'm not certified, but I know how to do it.
How do you get certified? I really don't know the
answer. You have to go to school. It's like 6 weeks of school.
That's not very long. That's not that bad.
No, but or you just go and get trained, and you don't have to pay for school.
So that's kind of the point. You get certified. Or no, you didn't pay for school, so you're not, air quotes, certified. So if you leave the position, you can't be a phlebotomist unless you go to the school to get certified. Is that correct?
Yeah, but I have experience. A lot of places are just based off experience.
But how does one get certification? I guess that's where I'm lost.
Like anybody? Or somebody that works in the ER?
Both.
They can go to school first, or they can just come in and get trained.
So here's my confusion. You work in an ER, and have for a long time. If you leave the ER because you're not quote-unquote, air quotes, certified, are you able to be a phlebotomist somewhere else without any kind of certification necessary?
I don't know, because I'm not under, as just phlebotomy, I'm under as an ED tech.
Okay.
So I can go to another ER and still get hired, no problem.
But being a phlebotomist at like an office, am I saying it correctly? Phlebotomist?
Phlebotomist.
At an office is just like an arduous thing.
Well, I have experience, so I might be able to, I just never tried.
But that word certified keeps throwing me off, I guess. Like, you need a license.
Well, they get paid less than us, so I wouldn't even try.
Ah, F the world, as they say. So, you work for 12-hour shifts.
Yes.
How many days a week is that?
3 days a week.
Because it's 12 hours, so it takes
36 days a week. 36 hours a week.
So, technically, air quotes, not full-time.
It's full-time. Anything over 32 hours is full-time.
Where's that from? I always heard it was 40 hours back in the day.
An hour job. That's what it's considered.
Okay. I understand. Are you able to work over a 12-hour shift?
If we can mandate it, it's only up to 16, or if we choose to, we can.
What's mandated mean?
Like, we have to stay.
Oh, they force you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, does that happen a lot?
Twice it's happened to me. During snowstorms, because staff can't come in.
Understood. And, that position's interesting. I guess in snowstorms, hospitals can't stop, they can't close,
nope. And
nothing happens. It's just always, always going. Now, what is the most colorful experience that you've had checking people into the ER in your term?
the most colorful.
They're colorful, maybe violent even. I don't know what happened.
They come in through an ambulance, and we don't know anything about them, so it's always a surprise. We've had a woman come in for chest pain, so I had to do an EKG on her. And I lifted up her big boob, and all these bed bugs came running down.
You saw it with your eyes, like, yeah. Visually. Like, so I don't know what a bed bug looks like. I've seen them on the internet, but, like, in person.
They're very small.
And you knew what it was instantly?
We all did. So. And she had boob cheese.
How old was this person?
Like 48.
How do you not throw up in your mouth, like, right there?
I gag and vomit all the time.
Do you really? Mm-hmm. How do they react when you're, like...
I straight up tell people anymore.
What do you say?
I gag. Certain smells make me gag, and I might vomit.
So, how did you deal with the bedbug woman? Like, what happens?
We all jumped. But we can't stop doing what we're doing because we have to get everything done and all our testing done.
So, can they attach to your clothing and come back to your
yes.
house? Is that how that works?
So, if we know that they have bedbugs, we have to put this isolation gown on, booties, hairnets, mask, gloves.
Did you run back and do it immediately, or did you continue?
No, I had to finish what we were doing. But after I was out, anytime I had to go back in that room, I would gown up.
Now, how did you know when you were out you weren't infected in some capacity?
We checked each other.
No, for real, that's a thing. I didn't really know.
Yeah,
that.
You have to check each other.
So they're not like lice or something in your hair, are they?
No, they attach to clothing, and they're normally just like legs down. You'll find them for the most part.
They're legs. I'm sorry, legs down. What?
You'll find them for the most part on your legs down.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
But if they're covered in bed bugs like that. There's a chance that they're going to jump on your hand and go up your arm.
So how bad of a human being is your caretaking at home that your body actually has a bed bug living on it?
Their houses most of the time need to be condemned. They're not allowed to go back.
Oh my God, for real?
The EMTs will tell us that it's covered in piss. Shit, am I allowed to curse?
Oh, you can say fuck, shit. You can say monkey, you can say whatever you want.
This one guy told me when he went into the room that there was buckets of piss and shit.
I've watched Hoarders at my home.
It's like that, they say.
How do you feel about that?
It's disgusting.
Does it, like, melt your brain?
No, I'm so anal about the way I live, and that's just horrible.
Yeah, it is kind of horrible, isn't it?
It's gross. It's
slightly disgusting. So, the most colorful experience you can conjure, how long have you been working at the ER at this point?
It'll be 6 years in December.
So, quite a long time.
Yeah.
Like, this is your career. In the 6 years, the bed bug off the boob is the hands down the weirdest?
It's one of the top weirdest.
Let's do a top five.
When you lift a boob, you're not expecting to find bed bugs.
Yeah, I don't even know how to react to something like that. As a person who works on houses, I've gone through a few of them and cringed a little and was concerned. But you never let the customer know that you think that this is disgusting. You just smile like, hello, how are you?
My facial expressions say enough.
No, I can get through it. I used to work for Orkin Pest Control at one point in my life. That was disturbing.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I saw some gnarly things. I didn't last long. It was a nice experience. Like, in the arc of my life, I'm an old man at this point. I've had a lot of jobs, and that was one of those jobs that I had. Orkin Pest Control. Remember the commercial with the guy in the Orkin suit?
Yeah.
He was like the Terminator. I was like, that'll be awesome, dude. And I was like 21 or something. I had my mortgage at the time. My new first house, I mean. And I go in, and I was really bad at it, I guess. I've always had, like, I never liked roaches or bugs. Like, I think, so I was adopted. You don't know this. We don't know each other that well yet. But I was adopted. And this is coming out in my book, The Vex Fucking Biography, which I just finished. But the point is, I think before I was adopted, I was maybe around a lot of dirty environments. And I had a phobia with bugs. And I remember thinking, well, if I have a phobia with bugs, I'll go work for Orkin. I'll crush that phobia. And I kind of did. Like, I don't know, I don't run on top of, like, the furniture if I see a roach at someone's house at this point in my life, but I definitely would, you know? And I've always had very, very clean homes, always, like, always, so I've never experienced a personal infestation, you know? Very disturbing stuff. But I joined Orkin, and they dispatched me once to go out, and I had to pick up, like, 76 dead mice. Yeah, you gasped. Mm-mm. There was a visible gasp there in your reaction. So, I didn't have gloves, right? It's the summer. I don't know. It was in the morning. It was like 9 a.m., 10 a.m. It was already like 80 degrees out. And I pull up on this Frank's Nursery. And they're like, hey, Orkin, they're in the back, dude. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I go in, there's just fucking a mound of dead mice. Like a mound of dead mice. And I'm like, oh, it's my job to get rid of them, right? I have no shovel. I don't have anything. Went to my truck, and I got a huge trash bag, and I put it over each arm and tied it off at the shoulders. and just picked them up with the trash bags into another trash bag. And I filled up two trash bags with fucking dead mice. Now, have you ever felt what the dead mice feels like it's with your
disgusting.
Hand?
Disgusting.
No, do you? Have you felt it?
Long time ago in the restaurant business.
Oh, we're going to get to that story in a moment. But they feel, if you remember, kind of like plastic because there's no bones and it's dead. And it was through a trash bag. I didn't touch it with my own hands. I would have thrown up on myself. But I would pick them up and I'm like, it's just plastic, buddy. You're just picking up plastic. You can survive anything. You're Vex-X. You're good. You can do this. And I got through it. And I promptly drove back to Orkin. And this is before cell phones. Everybody had a pager because it was a long time ago. Fuck. The early 90s. No, mid 90s. Late 90s. 97, maybe? Maybe 97. Yeah. Maybe 96. Doesn't matter. I'm going to say 97. I pulled over at a fucking payphone. I called my friend who doesn't have a job. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, fucking nothing. I'm like, listen, I'm about to quit my job in New Jersey. So can you drive here and pick me up? Because I couldn't comprehend getting a cab back then. There's no Uber. I had no cell phone. And I pull up at the parking lot and he's waiting for me in his car. And I drive up and I park their Orkin truck because you had an Orkin truck. So if I quit, I'm stuck there. I have no way to get home, right? And I walk in, I put the two trash bags of dead mice in the office. And I'm like, hey, I quit. Finger guns, bang, bang. And I left. And my friend drove me home. And we laughed all the way. Ha, ha, ha. Stupid job.
I would have quit before that.
When would you have quit?
When you had to go pick up the mice.
Personally, I wanted to see if I could do it. That was really what it was. Can I accomplish this task? I didn't throw up. I was professional. I knew I was like, I could do anything. In my mind, I'm like, I could do anything. And I got through it. But I'm not going to do it every day. You could suck my balls. Like, I'm out of here. You know, like, that was not happening as a career. Anyway, that's a different story. Tell me about your restaurant situation. Like, how old were you? What were you doing? Where were you working?
I started working in this restaurant when I was 15 as a bus girl.
So you're a kid.
Yeah. I was there till I was 23.
You know, mine too. I was a busboy at 15. I stayed till I was like 20. So I'm with you.
They had mice and they had those glue traps. And
which are the best, by the way.
Yeah. They would get stuck there and you would hear them squeaking and the cooks would just stomp on them. But there was one that was hanging out and it was dead. And I don't know why I was dared to pick it up by the head that was hanging out of the box. And I did. And it was
by the head.
Yeah, the head was hanging out.
Oh my God!
Like the feet and the ass and tail were on the glue part, but the head was.
So you picked up a mouse corpse face and swung it around. Like, what'd you do?
I threw it at the cook.
And what'd you get for the dare? Did you get a dollar at least? Like, how did you make some financing? Nothing.
No, just some alcohol.
Which is great when you're 15. It's a good way to be, you know. There's a part in my book. We had this friend named Herb. Herb, and he was younger than me. I didn't know this. I thought Herb was like older than me. He would camp out front of the liquor store when we were in high school. Like, we're like fucking 15, 16 years old. Saturday morning, he's up. He's there at 11 a.m. when they open. And he's just waiting. And he's just waiting. And he's waiting. And eventually, somebody will buy him liquor. He's like, hey, man, I'll give you $40. You just buy me 3 cases. You know what I mean, man? You keep some money. You know what I mean? And then he'd get somebody. And again, this is before cell phones. He would have to construct a way to get the beer from the fucking beer distributor back to one of our houses and then later to where we would drink without the cops pilfering and finding and being like a thing. It was like this complicated. He was great at it. He had shopping carts, skateboards. Occasionally somebody would have a car. You could be like, oh, call so-and-so. His mom has his car. He has his mom's car. It'd be great. It was like a very complicated thing. He was a master at it. You know where he's at now? Prison. Just saying. That's where that landed. I love that guy, actually. He used to work with me for a little while doing the roofing thing.
I used to pay a homeless man to get it for us.
So see, you were the same way. You're listening to me go on in this story. So wait, that's a little fucked up. Like, so what was his name?
I don't even remember.
You don't even know the homeless man's name?
No, I just remember the way he walked and what he looked like.
And what would you say to him? You're like, I'll show you some boobies if you get me some alcohol.
No, I'd be like, I'll give you money if you buy us 40s, and he would.
And what, did he have any kind of affliction at all? He was like, no, it's cool.
We'll do no, it. Everyone used to say he did a lot of acid and he was stuck on a trip.
Aww.
That's what everyone used to tell me.
And you were exploiting him. How old was he?
I would say 40s. I was like 14, 15 at the
what
time.
What did he look like visually? Let's go back.
He was like 6'1".
6'1".
Long, dirty hair, long beard.
What color was the hair and the beard?
Brownish gray.
Brownish gray.
Just dirty looking.
Okay.
Like his skin was just so dirty. And he had khakis on. Two different shoes that were like, you know, Payless with the Velcro. Like a brown sports coat.
You had no desire to buy him a pair of shoes or anything and be like...
I was 14,
I'm
15
just saying,
years old.
I'm asking a question.
No.
You might want to bought it. And you didn't know his name.
I forget his name.
We had a roadie, Trevor Dan, right? His name was Stoner Dan for a long time. And then he became the artist formerly known as Stoner Dan, became Trevor Dan. True story. When I first met him, it was on South Street because we were playing a show, and it came up, and they were like, "Hey, man, this is Stoner Dan." And this is in my book, but I want to tell you this story because it'll line up. Trust me. He looked like he was plucked out of 1969 and put on South Street. 1969, it was like 2004. And I walk up to the club, and there's this tall, gangly guy, like 6'3". He's got on flared bell-bottom jeans, brown fucking cowboy boots, for real, a band t-shirt of a band that only would have existed in the 60s, like nothing now, you know what I mean? Not like Jefferson Airplane or something like that. And this brown leather fucking perfect jacket. Like, it looked like he was pulled out of 69. His hair was down to his waist. Perfectly straight, long brown hair. He looked like he was in the Doobie Brothers. Remember the Doobie Brothers? Mm-hmm. Like, that visual in your mind. Weird fucking creepy facial hair. And he's like, "Hey, man, I'm Stoner Dan. What's up, man? Woo!" And then they were like, "If you've smoked weed in Philadelphia in the past 15 years, there's a 78% chance that you've gotten high with Stoner Dan." Yeah, right? I laughed. Like, well, that's pretty impressive there. You got a little thing. And that's from that movie Blow. Remember the movie with Johnny Depp?
It's a good movie.
Yeah, right? It was a fucking lie, by the way. I read the book. Oh, movie, not so true. That guy never got sober, ever, under any circumstances, just so we're clear. For real. They're like, "Oh, I had a baby, I got sober." No, you didn't. Anyway, they had to make it fucking for the arc. So this is Stoner Dan. Stoner Dan's claim to fame before he was the Starscream fucking roadie is he would go to the kids when he was 21 who were like 15. He's like, "Hey, I'm Stoner Dan. You want me to get you some beers? And then I'll hang out with you guys. Woo!" And they were like, "All right, creepy." So creepy Stoner Dan would go and he'd buy all the cases of beer for the little kids. And then he would hang out and drink with them all night for free. And he's like, "Yeah." And then he would get hammered and be like, "Hey, you want to play around, little girl? Woo!" And they're like, "No, you're creepy. Ew." And then years go by, and a guy starts working for my company, and he came out to a show, and he's like, "Oh my God, you know this fucking creepy guy?" I'm like, "Yeah, he's our roadie." He's like, "That's the guy that used to buy us beer when we were like 15, and we try to fuck our girlfriends." I'm like, "That's Stoner Dan." All right. So we knew our guy, I guess. You exploited him. You didn't get anything from him. Did he die? Is he still around? Like, what's his deal?
Oh, I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Aww.
I don't know. I was working in a restaurant, so then I made friends with all the bartenders, and they would just buy it for me at that point.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. Look at you. Yeah. Like, you're advanced. Mm-hmm. It's impressive. We used to pilfer alcohol from the restaurant. I had this girlfriend. She's like, "I like amaretto and cream." I didn't know what the fuck that was, and I'm like,
gross.
Well, I don't know. I don't drink. But I fucking swiped a bottle of amaretto. And then, of course, I got caught. Like, "Did you get the bottle of the amaretto?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "You could have just asked." And I'm like, "Well, okay. Can I have it?" "No." "Oh, fuck. Okay. What am I going to ask then?" They were nice, though. It was a good place to work. I kind of enjoyed it. The restaurant business was interesting.
I loved it.
There was a lot of drugs, man.
Yeah.
And I'm in rock and roll, which is also a lot of drugs, man. So if you have one, I guess you have the other, and that's how it breaks down. I'm used to it. I don't do the drugs, but I'm definitely influenced by them in some capacity. So were you bartending at one point, right?
At 18, I started bartending.
That's heavy. That's like a big job. You made a lot of money, I'm assuming. A
lot of money.
Like, that was a whole industry.
Yeah, worked 4 days a week and made a lot of money, did a lot of drugs, went to strip clubs. It was fun.
You're into the strip clubs,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, I love boobs.
You love boobs. That's interesting, young lady. Okay. What is your favorite part of the boob?
Just everything about it.
Just everything about
it? Yeah. You know, probably because I don't like my boobs. That's why I like other girls' boobs.
Oh, that's interesting. Interesting indeed. Do you like girls in that way?
No, like I've kissed girls and sucked boobs. That's about it.
Every girl at the bar does that, but I don't think they really like girls. Like, they're like,
I mean,
girls.
They're beautiful, but I'm not. I like the dick.
Ah! Look at you. With your. That's amazing. All right, we're going to get off the dick, and we're going to go back to the ER stories. So far, the most colorful one that you were able to give me, which was awesome, by the way, is that you removed clothing, and you moved the breast, and then, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 fucking beg bugs jumped off the boobie?
They just crawled down. It was disgusting. They, like, slid down the boob cheese under her stomach.
So I watched 600 Pound Life.
Yeah, that's gross.
Do you watch
that too.
It's the greatest show in America. Like, if you ever feel that you're heavy in any capacity or don't feel up to par, watch that fucking show. And all of a sudden you're like, I'm not so bad. I'm not them. I'll tell you this though. Whenever I watch, I don't want to eat. I just don't want to eat ever again. I'm like, I'm not going to eat ever the fuck again. Okay. Like, so if I watch it around dinner time, I'm just not eating dinner that night. I'm like, I'm good. No. Then there's been times when I'm like sitting there eating like fucking 2 packs of cupcakes with a glass of milk while watching it going, I'm disgusting. I'm everything wrong with America as I'm making fun of that person who's 600 pounds. How do you think they get to be that fucking way?
Oh, I don't even know.
They get.
I see the way they eat Like, what they eat just for one meal is what I can eat in 2 days.
I feel like it's a mental disorder, really. Like, I don't feel like it's a physical... It becomes physical, but there's something wrong upstairs, in my humble opinion, to be...
They're emotional eaters, I feel like.
Yeah, I would assume. I don't know. And then the doctor, I can't even say his name.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He's like, what's wrong with you? You eat 10,000 calories a day to be this fat. Ah, and you're just like, oh, my God, he's yelling at them. He used to be really nice. There was a bedside matter in, like, season one.
Yeah.
Now it's like season 10, he fucking hates them. He's like, you're lying. You're still fat. Stop eating. Eat a vegetable. Like, I looked at a vegetable as I was eating these tacos. Dude, there was an episode once I was watching with my ex-wife, and we're watching this shit, and the woman's like, I don't care what Dr. Oz says. Right? It's not Oz. It's something else. Like, I don't know why I said Oz. I need wontons, and I can't live without wontons. I just can't do it. And of course, she failed the fucking program, and she wasn't successful. Maybe it's Dr. No. Is that his name? Like Nozowski or some shit?
Something like that.
Right? Like, oh, Dr. No, how you doing? It's sad, actually. I should make fun of it. There's a woman who's a booking agent for musicians in this area, not in Pennsylvania, but around here, and her uncle was on, and he fucking died during the filming. Like, they go to your house and they're trying to help you, and he passed away. And it's like, I'd never seen anyone die on it before. And then people were being really vicious and mean to him on social media, and I felt really bad. And he was like a likable, nice guy, but he was fucking big, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, was really offended. And she said the show lied to everyone and they edited it all wrong, which I agree with, I think. I definitely agree with that. But if you've watched the show, you should be cognizant of such things to happen. Like, it's a formulaic approach, and you know what it's probably going to turn out like. What are your thoughts on that?
Of the show itself, well, or I guess just the cutting and editing? And
maybe not, what's that word they call it? It's not regular television. It's the, I'm blanking.
Reality?
Yeah, that's it. It's called reality TV. That's how they say it. Like, remember The Real World back in the day?
Yeah.
Things like that. That shit's all edited together. It has been since the inception of it. Conceptually, like, we're like 30 years into reality TV at this point. And I feel like if you're going to be on there, for them to help you, that's really what it's about. Be aware that if members of your family appear, they're going to chop it up and make you look as bad as possible, I would assume.
I think so, too.
Yeah, right?
Especially if they're the ones that are helping that person gain all that weight by feeding them.
That's a rough situation. Because if you can't leave the house, someone's feeding you.
Yeah, I would just die if I was like that.
Yeah, well, you're not. And some of them do. But then you can get thinner. It's a possibility.
I don't know. I know a lot of people that had the gastric bypass
or
sleeve done. The one lady I know had the bypass like 10 years ago, lost all this weight and then gained 200 pounds back, and then had the sleeve done and gained weight back. She's an emotional eater, she told me.
But that's really sad. Because if you have like a life-changing event like that, I know someone, all right, I have issues. I don't like elective surgery in any capacity. I don't know why. I'm just not a fan of it. Like, Kanye West got all that money, became famous, right? And then his mom got plastic surgery and she fucking died. She didn't need that plastic surgery. She was a pretty lady. I mean, she was thicker, but she was pretty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you have all the money in the world, get a trainer and just stop eating badly. And the trainer will help you if you can really afford it. And she could have. But she elected for the surgery and they put her under. And sometimes when you go under, you don't get up. And you know that's working in the ER. That's a thing. It's just the way it is. It's not a perfect science. And I know that. So I'm not going to check out. It's like, oh, well, there's some bags under my eyes there. So I'm going to get knocked out and pulled back. But then, you know, I'm getting older. So maybe a facelift isn't that bad. No, but I don't like elective surgery.
It's part of life.
I agree. I think you earned it. I earned all my wrinkles, you know?
Yeah.
And then so when people get the gastric bypass, I know somebody who got it and it messed up her bowels. And she now suffers from migraines forever. Like forever. And
I feel like they'll age faster too. They just look older and their hair's thinner.
I didn't know about the hair at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bald guy, so I don't really pick up on it.
And they have saggy skin.
That happens, right? That's a thing.
But they can get tummy tucks. As long as it's, most of the insurance covers it, but you have to have an issue in order to get it, like a yeast infection, redness, but they'll do it.
I feel like a physician would work with you. You could say there's irritations from your skin. That's pretty easy to like write off, don't you think?
Yeah, but tummy tucks are really painful.
Oh, I didn't know that at all. That's like a thing?
I personally don't know that. It's just from what I've been told, yeah.
When you see it on TV, I guess you just discount the pain aspect of it. You don't think about it. I don't know. I'm just not into it. I hate my nose, for instance, right? Like, I hate it. But, A, I vocalize. I'm a singer. And if I cut my nose differently, it could augment my voice. So I think it's too high already. You could be like, hello, how are you doing? If you cut your voice, you know? Or it'd be like, hello, I can no longer hit high notes when I sing the rock and roll, you know? And I kind of like hitting the high notes. It's like, ah! I try. And I'm afraid to get my nose fixed in that capacity. I've like two deviated septums. I can't even enjoy cocaine. I can't even do it. Like, you know, for real. Like, you're just not that person. I never tried it, but I know I couldn't. Like, it just wouldn't
go
up there.
Your nose is fine, though.
Well, thank you.
It's not big or anything.
No, it's weird. I got, like, somebody who was older than me when I was 18 was like, you know, your nose is all messed up, right? I'm like, what? And then I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh, and he pointed out all the flaws. And it was like a really mean spirited thing to do. You fuck with a kid like that. Because I was 18. I think he was like 23, 22, something like that. It messed me up for years, but I don't care. I'm not going to do anything about it. I have a very ethnic nose. I'm Lithuanian. So you can tell it's from that portion of the world. You have no idea where Lithuania's from. Mm-mm. I can tell by your face. You know, Russia, mm-hmm. Poland. Mm-hmm. It's a Baltic nation. So it's right in that little thing.
Okay.
It's very tiny. Like, it's kind of like Borat tiny, like, you know. As Pakistan or whatever the fuck it's called. For real though, and I'm Lithuanian, so my nose is very ethnic to me, and that's my lot in life, if you will. What ethnicities are you, young lady?
Irish, Polish, German.
Oh wow, like a plethora.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that your family, like when you were a kid, you were raised with, like, we are this? Was anything like that?
We were always taught to say we're Irish, German.
Really?
Not to tell everyone we were Polish.
Where's the Polish from?
My mom's side.
And she was like a Polish hater. She didn't appreciate it. Explain.
She was mad that my dad would tell us that.
Oh! He's like, yeah, don't tell anybody that. You're just half.
My dad always told Polish jokes. My mom hated it.
Oh my god, that's amazing! Mm-hmm. That's amazing! That's some funny shit. Is that, they're still together, right?
Yeah.
Their dynamic is that he's been fucking with her for like 40 years at this point?
It's like 43, I think. Oh, or a big 43 this year.
That's amazing! And he's like, yeah.
Still brings it up.
How does she feel?
She hates it. He'll say it's the Polish in you, you know. Or, you know, the Polacks, you know, whatever.
And it's weird because we do that too as Lithuanians, like, for real. We're exactly the same. Like, there's no difference between Poland and Lithuania. Like, we're, like, literally, like, 3 feet apart. And I'm like, no, man, I'm not Polish at all. I'm very different. I'm very Lithuanian. And the one thing, at least Poland had a country. Lithuania got conquered 7,000 times. Like, you don't even know where the fuck it is. Like, it doesn't even exist.
I've never even heard of it.
You've never heard of it?
Mm-mm.
You're lying.
I swear.
There's a couple of Olympians every once in a while that come from Lithuania who are kind of a big deal. They're a big deal to us. There was a basketball player in the NBA for, like, 2 minutes. We're very... Lithuanian, man. It's our thing. Letova. Labas. I had a Lithuanian sticker on my SUV years ago, and I was in Center City, and somebody wrote Labas and put it underneath my my windshield wiper. That's hello. That's a greeting. And it made me really happy. I was like, oh, there's a Lithuanian around. There's like four of us. It's like a thing. you know what Angelian was, or is? You have no idea what I'm saying, do you? All right. This is going back in time, and you're younger than me, so you're not going to get this. There was a show called It's a Living. That was like a sitcom where they were all waitresses in this like high-end restaurant. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Uh-uh.
Not, I never even heard of it, right? Angelina was like kind of the breakout star of It's a Living in like 1981.
Yeah, I was born that year.
I'm just saying, you know. My first wife was born that year. Yeah. Oh. True story. ER, back to the story. So all I have is a boob with fucking bed bugs coming off of it. There's got to be something else. Like you said, there's violence that happens there.
Oh, right? Yeah, we get attacked.
Like, you say it so nonchalantly. Like, you're a lady.
We're used
so
to it.
I'm not. I'm a roofer. We don't get attacked. Like, what do you mean you get attacked? Explain.
Patients come in high on drugs, drunk, or they're just psychotic, and they swing at us, spit at us, bite us, whatever, pull our hair. So we have to put them in four-point restraints.
Four-point restraints.
Yeah, so two hands, two legs tied to the bed.
I got the mathematics of it. Here's my question. When restraining someone, losing their shiznit, what do you restrain first? Because legs are powerful.
Well, there's normally about 8 to 10 of us in a room trying to hold them down.
Literally. Now, literally. Is it all your level of staff, or is there a security as well?
Well, security's supposed to come, but our security guards are kind of old. Daytime ones are strong. They're like middle-aged, so to have them is good. Okay. But we have a lot of ER nurses that are males. And one's a former Marine, so he's...
So he's tough as fuck.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah. He takes them down. He's taking people out in headlocks.
He probably enjoys it a little bit.
Oh, yeah, he does.
We had a bass player once in the band who was Marine, and I said something, and he, like, grabbed by the throat and, like, threw me down. I was like, you know, I use my throat to make his money, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a Marine. I'm like, oh, for the fuck? He, like, rocked me, like, 2 seconds. It was amazing.
So normally, when we're restraining someone, everyone will try to just grab each limb and do them all at the same time. But sometimes it's too hard because they're so strong that we focus on one leg, one arm first.
You're like, they're so strong. Now, this is because of drugs. Right?
Yeah.
They're going to, like, powerful people.
Yeah, and then they start spitting at us. So we have to put a mask on them.
Have you gotten bitten?
I've gotten bit, but they didn't break my skin.
But they bit you?
Yeah.
Oh my God, how did that feel? Probably unpleasant.
Yeah.
Did you bruise?
Gross. A little.
If you were to get injured in some capacity, how's the hospital take care of you?
We have to file a police report against them and go to court with it.
So you can't sue the hospital?
No.
Oh, that's awful.
Comes with the territory.
I knew a guy, he worked for me briefly doing roofs. He was a security agent. And one of the other security guards stabbed him in the back in the lunchroom.
Damn.
Yeah, right? Like, what the fuck did you do? Like, what? Did you eat his lunch out of the refrigerator? Like, how complicated? Like, you're, like, all security guards, and you, like, stabbed him in the back. And he was like, you stabbed me in the back. And they, thank God it was a hospital security. He's, like, suing the hospital now. I don't know if it's going to work.
But. Yeah, I don't know if it would work, but, I mean, it's something we sign up for.
No, but if you're both employed by the hospital and one of the other employees, I think, stabs you in the back, this could be the issue, technically.
I guess,
I don't know. I'm not an attorney, but I like to play one on television. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't know, man. Oh, Rand Spear. You know that Rand Spear commercial? That guy's an actor because I saw him on like a fucking State Farm commercial like a year ago, and he's much older now. I'm Rand Spear, the accident attorney. Right, that guy? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, this is cool. If I get an accident, I'm calling Rand Spear. That's not Rand Spear. That's just some fucking guy. And then that guy's like really old now because that commercial's like 15 years old. Now he has white hair and he's like some grandfather. He's like, hello, I'm a grandfather and this is State Farm. I'm like, you're Rand Spear. You're the accident attorney. But I think it's only to our region of the country and something like State Farm's a national commercial. So he could just be a different guy. It's quite upsetting. I always believe them. Some of the attorneys do their own commercials though. Dude, like if you watch the Maury Povich bullshit or you watch like daytime television, all those commercials are injury attorneys. So, in your line of business, do you meet injury attorneys or, like, running into the ER looking for people? Like, is it a thing?
No.
No, not at all?
No.
Okay. Do you like your position? Do you like what you do?
I do, to a degree.
So, you're not in love with it anymore?
No, it's just been so busy. It's so hectic.
That's good, though. Job security, as they say. That's what they used to tell me.
Yeah, why I always say they're dying to come in.
But, look at you. That's pretty good. I feel like if they're dead, they're not coming in, though.
No, they still come in dead.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
How?
Because somebody has to call it.
So, don't the EMTs do this in the ambulance?
Some do. But if they had a pulse on the ambulance, I don't know why they still bring them to us.
Do they not want to call it? Like, that wasn't another body in their ambulance? Like, is that a thing?
I don't know how it really works, but they still bring them to us dead. We had a heroin overdose not too long ago, and he was purple. He was dead. He was dead for hours. And we still had to work on him for a good half hour, 45 minutes.
Seriously?
Yep. I mean, he was 22, so they were trying.
No, but I think if you're purple, it might be over.
I know. I said the same thing.
Like, it might be. All right, I'm going to ask questions. This is like so... I don't do anything like this at all. I fix fucking roofs. Like, it isn't like I do something cool. Do you guys use the paddles to, like, jump the heart and stuff? Like, is that a thing?
Well, they're not paddles. They're sticky pads that go on their chest. One goes on their chest, one goes on their back. Okay. And then we just hit the button and it shocks them.
Is the paddle just a television drone?
Yeah. Did it might have been back in the day. Okay. But they're just sticky pads now.
Interesting. Like a long time ago, like 35 years ago, my dad, when I was little, he had hurt his back at work and they gave him the sticky pad type of thing and you plug it into the machine and it sets the electric volt for your back for like a back...
Yeah, stimulator.
Stimulator, that's it. Yeah. Is it kind of like that but just much more powerful?
I don't know. I've never put one on.
No, is the pad that like the
steam? Oh, the pads are huge.
Okay, so it is different. They're bigger. Yeah. They're not like small. So like how huge? Like what we thought, like 3-inch diameter or something? Like
I would say they're like 6 inches long.
Now, if you put this pad on a person and you go through the process and it doesn't work, or it does work, is the pad thrown away immediately? Because I feel like
We leave them on the bodies. Anybody that dies, you have to leave everything that was on them, or any like IVs have to stay in.
How if they come?
Just to show that you worked on them.
That you tried.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
So if they were intubated, we have to leave the tube down their throat.
That's like sad and stuff.
Yeah.
So who's the staff that comes in to remove all those things? Is that just coroner stuff?
Well, if they die there, we have to bag them. So they go in the bag and like the tube will be hanging out of their mouth. And we put them in the morgue and then the funeral director will come pick them up.
I know that, like, I could tell by your facial expression this is not a big deal to you, but you've just blown my fucking mind. There's so many questions you just made happen. You put them in a fucking saran wrap bag like that?
What's a big white plastic bag?
Like, for real?
For real.
And is it tied? Does it zipper up?
Like, it zippers around them.
It zippers around them. This is amazing.
We put a toe tag on their toe.
So you have toe tags at your disposal?
Yes.
If I needed a toe tag, you could get
it. And a body bag, yes.
I think I need a body bag just to fucking have one. Could you imagine getting pulled over by a cop? There's a body bag and a toe tag in your trunk. You're like, what's going on? Like, no, I made this podcast and your girl gave me what's fucking awesome. And I'm going to jail, aren't I? Yes, yes, you are, sir. Oh, fuck. Okay. I feel like that might be. So you can really swipe me a fucking body bag?
Yeah, if you really want one.
I think I might want a body bag. Do you have one at your house?
No.
I would use it for vacation and shit. I'm like, oh, it's on the top of my car. It's a body bag. La, la, la. And I'd make sure everything was shaped like a person. So I got pulled over. Like, no, it's just books and shit, man. We're good.
Well, they need to make bigger body bags because the fat people, we can't get in there. We can't zip them, I should say.
So bedside manner just isn't a thing at your job, is
no.
it?
No.
Like, you're vicious.
They're assholes to us. We're assholes back.
Oh, what about the little old ladies who are nice?
I don't know. We're nice to them.
I don't know, man. You're freaking me out. I don't know. You seem like a little rah, you know? I don't know. So, but you like your job, I thought, though. That's kind of the thing.
No, I do. It's just been really hectic lately. We're short staff. The hospital's full, so people are just rude.
What do you mean rude?
They get mad at us because they're sleeping in the ER because there's no beds upstairs for them to go to. So they start lashing out at us.
Like, for real? Like, they're like, it's just verbal, though, right? Like, nothing crazy?
Some people get a little crazy, but not with me.
Same with throwing feces? You laugh because I think it might have happened. Oh, no.
But not with that. Like, just in general, they're demented. They come in covered in poop. They've thrown it at us.
That's a thing?
Mm-hmm. They eat their poop.
How does one get covered in the fecal matter? Like, I know where it comes out in the body.
They just play with themselves.
I mean, I'm not mentally ill, obviously, but I don't know if I have the constitution to finagle. Like, I used to have really big dogs. They were greyhounds. And there was an accident every once in a while, and I had to clean up the poop, right? And then if you walked them in the city, you had to clean up the poop. And I got adept at it. I didn't like it, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world. But I don't know if I could just take poop out of my butt and be like, some poops. La la la. I feel like it's probably toxic. It probably smells awful, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think the basic things like scent and texture would make it not a pleasant experience for someone to enjoy. I remember being like a little kid. I'm like, maybe it's chocolate. I like chocolate. It looks like the color of chocolate. I don't know. I'm not gonna try it though. I'm just saying I'm three. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. But I thought it.
Most people that touch it or play with it are demented, or they're just...
Is demented the adjective of choice? Wouldn't mentally ill kind of be more, like, expressive?
No, they have dementia.
Wow.
The older people. But then there's, like, the mentally challenged people that just play with it because they don't know any better. Like, finger painting is what I say.
You are so, like, dismissive and nonchalant about these colorful, insane things to me. This is amazing! And you're like, yeah, they just play with it. It's the poops. Just what happens.
That's why I don't like people touching me. I don't know where their hands been.
Okay. I feel like the smell might give it away.
Well, yeah, but some people don't. Like, they'll just be digging in their coochie or whatever, and then they'll touch my face. I'm like, oh, you have such nice skin. And or touch my hair, and I'm like, don't touch me.
I said to people I know, actually, don't touch me. I have a friend who's an avid smoker, and we make podcasts together, and he'll like, you know, bang my shit. I'm like, don't fucking touch me. Don't fucking touch me. You smell like fucking cigarettes. Don't fucking touch me. Like, it makes me crazy. And it's on his clothes and his hair. Like, it's a thing. It makes me very sad in my heart. I don't like that stuff. And then he'll smoke in his house where we record. And the house is just like this fucking den of inequities of smoke. Which makes me sad. Look at your face. You're like cringing.
Because I smoke.
Yeah, so how old were you when you started smoking?
18.
What? Mm-hmm. That's a little old. Like, if you're 12 and you fall for it.
Well, I like tried it at 12, 13. Okay. But when I was bartending, it was just around me.
Back then...
You could smoke in bars.
You could, couldn't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was a minute ago. I remember when it changed over.
I was like 22 when you couldn't smoke in bars anymore.
Why didn't you quit then?
Because I worked in a bar. We would just go outside and smoke.
No, but that's the point. Like, so that it became like an ordeal, I think, is my point. Like, okay.
It was more of a hassle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I figure you're so young and you're so new at it, you can just be like, fuck it. Or did it become hand-in-hand with drinking for you? Because a lot of people, when they drink...
Well, I started out as a social smoker. So I only smoked when I would drink. Yeah. And I bartended 4 days a week, so it was 4 days a week I was smoking.
I'm with you.
And the days I was off, I wouldn't smoke. It was weird.
Now, the nicotine does become like, is that what's...
it's addicting.
That's the addicting. It's not the rest of it. It's the nicotine itself, yeah. Right? So technically, you could switch over to like the lozenges?
Well, I tried the patch.
Yeah.
It didn't work. The gum, I didn't like.
That's it? I didn't like it, so I'm out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I stopped when I was pregnant.
Yeah, but that's my point. So if you could stop then, why would you fucking start again? Like, that's a long time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I stopped, and I never wanted to go back to it, but my daughter had so many health issues that a week later, I started right back up.
Because of the stress.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's understandable. It's just, it was such a long break, though. Like, so you know who Slash is from Guns N' Roses? Mm-hmm. I recently read this. I didn't know this. He quit smoking like a decade ago, which I didn't know because he was pretty famous for it, and he had gotten pneumonia. And for 2 weeks, he just couldn't smoke. He was sick, right? And he's like, well, it's 2 weeks. It's kind of a start. And like, he's done it, but he's like still, he like chews the gum and like fucks around and all, but he's not smoking cigarettes, which is kind of a plus, man. But then he's like, it's my one last thing. He's like, I used to do fucking heroin, so it's the one thing. It's like not the worst, yeah. You know? I don't know. It's a bad thing. Like, it's not even the nicotine, I think, that gets you. It's the toxins they put in the actual cigarette from the manufacturers that might be the issue.
Yeah.
That's what I read.
I don't know. They say it's harder to quit smoking than to stop heroin.
No, I completely heard that, too. It's socially acceptable, A. That's a thing. So it's not a big deal. Like, if you walk down the street with a needle in your arm, people tend to judge. But if you're smoking, like,
yeah, but people judge you for smoking still.
Do they really? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you feel you're subjected to? Like, what's it like?
I don't know. If I'm at a playground with my daughter, there's non-smoking signs everywhere. So I'll legit go to the parking lot and smoke, and then everybody's just looking at me. Like, I'm the bad parent because I'm still smoking. But it's a public place. So I just try not to smoke anywhere, really. If they don't smoke, I don't smoke around them.
Ever.
It's the rule I live by.
That's the
rule. Have I smoked around you yet?
No, but, you know, it isn't like we spent a lot of time together.
No, I know, but still, I still won't.
So this is an hour-long episode, for instance. Like, if you were by yourself and you didn't work today, like, would you be smoking constantly?
It depends what I was doing.
Explain.
I find I smoke more if I'm driving in the car than if I was just, like, home doing stuff.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's interesting to me. So is it because you're stationary and, like, you're stressed in some capacity because of the driving?
I'm not stressed driving. I don't know. It's just, I guess, the habit of blasting my radio and smoking with my windows down.
Like, when you're... I have no idea. I don't know why I did do-do-do-do. That's my universal sign for rocking out to music. Disco. Yeah, because you like pop music and stuff, right?
I'm sorry?
You like pop music and stuff?
I like everything.
You're a big hip-hop fan, though.
I am a big hip-hop fan.
But you don't like the mumble rappers, or you do?
The who?
The mumble rappers.
No.
You just look blank.
Yeah, I don't.
That's
even
the new hip-hop.
Yeah, no, I don't like that shit.
Ah, you referred to it as shit. It's weird, because some of it's starting to grow on me.
Some songs I like, but yeah, they've probably been out for like a year or two.
But that's still newish. It isn't like something from 1986. Like, you could whip out For Real, The Young MC, and I'm like, aw, The Young MC, and I get all like happy. The Humpty Dance, that was my shit. I didn't know.
Digital Underground.
That was fucking the same guy. Shock G was everybody. Did you know that?
No.
Shock G, which is like the leader of the Digital Underground, was Humpty. Yeah, I had no fucking idea. And then he like would act like he would do interviews as Humpty, like they were different people. And I always thought they were kind of like hanging out. No, they were never together. Same fucking guy. He had a fake nose on and glasses. And you're like, oh, a completely different character. Changed his voice and shit. Pretty smart, actually. Yeah. And they're the people who broke or gave a shot to a very young Tupac Shakur. Did you know that?
Yeah, because he was in All Around the World, same song.
That was it. That got his record deal. Mm-hmm. That fucking movie's atrocious. You ever see
Trouble?
That fucking... Oh, my God.
Was it Nothing But Trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
With Dan Aykroyd?
It's so bad.
I know, but I still love watching it.
Do you really? Why?
Because it's so bad.
Dan Aykroyd, well, if you were...
It reminds me of being a kid, too.
If you want to talk about bad, there's a movie called The Room. Did you ever see The Room?
No.
Have you heard of The Room?
No.
You're lying. All right, I'm going to pause this momentarily. I'm going to play you the fucking, what's that word? When the movie's, the trailer for the worst fucking movie ever made. It's so bad that last year, I'm blanking on names, you have to help me. I can see his face in my mind. Fuck, what's his name? Ha! I have no idea. All right, we're going to pause everything and I'll get the information. Bear with us. Welcome back to the Vex on Vex podcast. Now, I'm going to play you the trailer for The Fucking Room, which was immortalized in, is it The Disaster Artist by James Franco? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you ready for your mind to be blown?
Yep.
You can see it, right?
Yeah, I can see it.
I love you, Lisa.
Aw.
I love you, Johnny.
You never heard of this?
No.
It's so good. Like, I've never smoked crack, but it's probably as good as The Room.
Johnny's okay. I found somebody else.
The music's horrible.
That's the point. I'm changing your life right now. You have no idea what I'm doing. Like, you're going to be sucked in and be a Room fan like myself.
I'm never going to watch that.
Oh, you're gonna watch it. It's gonna happen. I can't even see what you're watching. I feel bad. Oh, it's so good.
You can turn it. I can still see it.
Oh, it's so famous. Damn it, Bonita. So good. You've never seen The Room? Never heard of this?
No. I could see why I never did.
What?
Oh, it's so good. All right.
So, the guy, the good-looking guy in the movie is like an actor. Mm-hmm. Like the blonde kid you just saw. And he wrote a book because it's fucking madness. So that guy with the black hair made the movie for like, I think $6 million or something insane out of his own money. He bought the cameras. You don't buy cameras, you rent fucking cameras. He bought the cameras. He wrote the worst script ever that makes no fucking sense because he can't really speak English. He made a film. Then he paid for it to be in theaters for years. There was a billboard of it on Sunset Boulevard forever out of his own pocket, like for years. And the blonde guy wrote a book about it. He's like, this is madness. He's like, I was working with madness. And they're still homies and shit. They're friends for real. And then James Franco made a movie about the book, which is really good. The Disaster Artist. Here we go. The Disaster Artist Tommy official trailer. Here we go. So you're going to see some magic right now.
Okay, who here can really reveal themselves?
You can see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Don't talk about me, not to class, not to anybody.
That's Franco.
Of course. Sharp on time, try not to fall asleep, everybody.
Am I hearing an accent?
No. What do you mean?
How old are you?
I'm wild, Greg age.
You're 19? Yeah. I just turned 14.
Wow, happy birthday.
So good.
This is my movie, and this is my life.
It's so good.
You know me, we're all the same. But yeah, how's that? We both have this dream. That we'll be famous. Yeah, I guess we do. You have a malevolent presence. You are a perfect villain. I could see you as Dracula, Frankenstein. I'm not Frankenstein. I am a hero. Why give them job? I give them salary. I'll just spend $5 million on this movie.
$5 million, my bad.
$5 million, and they are not great.
I would maybe watch this one.
It's really good.
But the first one I wouldn't.
But you need it's
the original?
Like, yeah.
No.
Now you want an easier question? Where does the money come from, huh? Stop. It's on camera. I know it's on camera, just like you want it. I do this whole movie for you, Greg.
You're telling me about me, though. Sorry.
Can we just take it again? Try to lose the accent.
The rules to the club are simple. And the question before was done.
And you've never heard of either film?
Nope.
The Disaster Artist almost won an Oscar and shit. Like, it was fucking like a big deal. And
I
then
don't watch a lot of movies.
Oh, wow. Okay, sorry. I'm beneath
no,
you.
No, don't be sorry.
I like entertainment and shit. What the fuck was I thinking? But the Room's like glorious. My God, it's so bad. And so I happened to cross it after my second divorce. Because there are a lot of them. Actually, the first one passed away. So my first divorce, I guess. And my friends would come to my house, and I'd be like, sit down. And I DVR'd it. Adult Swim, the Cartoon Network.
Mm-hmm.
You know Adult Swim, right?
Mm-hmm.
They aired a clip of it every night, like a half hour, maybe an hour of it every night. And then if you took all the clips together, you have this giant fucking film, which is awful. And they cut out the gratuitous, really long fucking scenes and titties and shit. Because he made a fucked up movie. Like, this poor girl who's in the film, like, he's just like, I'll never forget this. They were like, is he having sex with her belly button? Like, does he know where vagina is? He's like, just shoot it the way I want it. Like, for real. That's a thing. He's just like fucking her hip and shit. Like, it's just crazy. And it's just gratuitous sex. It's a completely original soundtrack, which makes him, he was so proud of at the time. And he put out this fucking movie. And so Adult Swim has it. I capture it. People would come to my house in like 2011. And I'd make them sit on the couch and like, watch this. And like, this is so bad. I'm like, no. It's fucking awesome. Trust me. And like, I would not get laid because I bring girls to my house. I'm like, watch this fucking movie. And they're like, I don't want to stay here. I'm like, no. It's fine. We'll have sex after. Just watch. And I sucked in all these people. And then it became a thing. Not just here, but in LA, it caught on a little. And James Franco and all those people were like, it was like this fucking funny thing. You would get high and you'd go to the midnight viewing of it and just throw shit at the screen. It became like a Rocky Horror Picture thing. And that's in Philadelphia too. Like, there's a, all right, when he was setting up his set, he went and bought a couple of like picture frames from the store. So there's a picture of spoons for no reason. So when they show the fucking shot where the spoon picture's in it, they throw fucking plastic spoons at the fucking at the screen. It's like amazing. It's this glorious thing. I was, you have to go take it. You have to check it out. You have to go to the midnight viewing. You would love it. It's funny.
Maybe.
Look at your face.
Maybe. Maybe I'll just watch it in my house.
It's not going to be the same. But I've seen it so many times, I can quote along with the worst dialogue ever written in the history of cinema. Like, it just makes no sense. There's a part in the movie where Johnny, who's the guy with the long, crazy black hair, and his fiance, who cheats on him with his best friend, because that makes it didn't make any sense how it happened. Her mother comes in and she's like, well, it's official. I have cancer. And they never discuss it again in the film ever again. And they show in the making of, she goes to Johnny, the guy who made the movie, and she's like, does this come back? Like, the storyline? And he's like, no, it's a story arc. And she's like, no, but if you're saying I have cancer in scene blah blah, shouldn't it come back around somewhere that I beat cancer? Nope. And they never acknowledged it again. And even the actresses knew that this is fucked, man. But they got paid. You know what I mean? And they made their film and they thought it would go away. And it's just become like a phenomenon. And Franco made that whole movie that I just showed you the trailer of. It's great. The trailer's fucking... Not trailer. The Room is fantastic. I so got into The Room, then I buy the DVD, right? So I can make people really be tortured by it. My most recent ex-wife, I made her fucking watch it so many times. She's like... She didn't have cable when I first met her. So I go to her house, and she'd be like, we'd be watching something. We watch a lot of movies. And I'd be like, oh, I got a DVD for you. And she's like, okay. I'm like, you're gonna love it. It's fucking amazing. Ha ha ha. And I made her watch, and she's like, I don't want to watch The Room again. I'm like, oh, come on, one more time. So we got to the point where she could quote the fucking awful movie, too. Like, it was fucking glorious. The Room is so good. My God. And it wasn't just me. Like, I fell in love with it, like, 10 years ago. Not even 8 years ago. And then other people caught on, and they made that real movie about it. It's like a fucking thing. Look at your face. You do not give a fuck what I'm saying. At all. Nothing.
I'll try it, and I'll watch it.
It's funny.
I don't know.
It's
not the kind of movie I would be into. Just by looking at the trailer.
But it's so bad that it's amazing. Like, there's this fucking... Like, the opening scene, Johnny, the guy with the long black hair, comes home from work, and he has Lisa, the girlfriend, a dozen roses for no reason. He buys her a red dress. And there's a kid. There's a kid who lives, like, in the next apartment over named Denny, who just, like, comes in. He's like, hey, is Johnny here? And they're like, oh, yeah. Ha, ha, hey, Denny. And he's like, all right, we're going to go upstairs, and they're going to fuck, right? Denny runs upstairs and jumps on the bed with him. And Denny's, like, 20. Like, it's so weird. Like, I'm like, is this a threesome? No, it's just a fuck. That movie that makes no sense. And then there's another scene where she's like, you don't understand. Johnny really loves Denny, and he pays his rent for him because he has no family. And you're just like, what? Like, what is happening here? Like, it's a creepy, creepy movie. And the little kid, air quotes, who played Denny, now it's like fucking, you know, 20 years later, he's fat and bald with a goatee. Like, it's weird looking. He looks like the guy that would molest your Denny now. It's like so fucked up. It's so fucked up. I love the movie so much, though. Like, my God. You have no idea what you're missing. Like, all right, what's, like, the worst awful movie that you like in your catalog? Everybody has a film. They're like, oh, I like this movie.
Oh, my God. It's from, like, the 80s.
Well, I'm old. I'm older than you, so what is it?
The Incredible Shrinking Woman.
It's a great movie, actually. It's not even that
it's
bad.
It's horrible.
Why?
Because it's just horrible.
Why is it horrible?
Because it's never going to happen. It's just funny.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah, it's just funny.
Well, yeah. I think that's a remake, isn't it? Wasn't it done in the 60s or something?
I think so.
Yeah, like, that's the...
It's just the... Everything about it, the colors.
Is that her?
I can't remember her name, but me and my sister used to watch that all the time. And Mommy Dearest.
Mommy fucking Dearest. Here's why Mommy Dearest is great. They meant it to be a serious movie. Like, it came out.
Yeah, she was really like that, my parents told me.
Oh, yeah. She was way worse in the movie.
Yeah.
The movie's nothing. But it was meant to be a serious dramatic film, and people would get high and go watch it, and it became like a dark comedy they would laugh at. Like no wire hangers.
I do like that movie.
Right? It's a great fucking film, dude. That woman whose name escapes me because I'm a bad person.
Joan Crawford?
No, the woman who played Joan Crawford.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't even know. She was Bonnie and Clyde when she was young in like 69 or something with...
The Bonnie and Clyde black and white one?
Well, 69 was color.
I watched the black and white ones.
Yeah, not her.
But so that lady was in Bonnie and Clyde when she was young and desirable. And then she's in a Tom Petty video, which I love, called Into the Great Wide Open. And she manages a young Johnny Depp in that video that you don't even know what I'm talking about. You just see your face.
I know Johnny Depp.
No, but the Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
I know who Tom Petty is.
So Into the Great Wide Open, you know that video?
Well, no.
Ah.
But I know a couple songs.
So that woman from Mommy Dearest is in that video, which is kind of amazing because she was like a big star at the time. But she's, that like kind of fucked up her career. Like she was happening. And then she played Joan Crawford and like, I don't know, man, kind of. The movie didn't go over well. Like, it was kind of bad. It was kind of bad. But why do you love it so much?
I don't know.
That's
just
it,
the way
I know.
She was.
She was fucked up. I like when she takes over, like, the Pepsi-Cola Corporation. She's like, my husband was the person, the boss.
Yeah.
And I'm now the boss. I don't think that's how business world works, by the way. But she owned the shares.
She was just a bitch.
Yeah, on wheels. And she adopted those kids. And there's more fucking kids. That was just the story of two of them. There's more kids you get later, which is even more fucked up. FX did this show a couple years ago. It was a limited run where they had two women playing. Remember Sweet Baby Jane?
I've never watched it,
but I've
heard of it.
But you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I can't think of her name off the top of my head. I'm embarrassed to say this, but it's Joan Crawford and someone else. And they hated each other. And they made a Fox series about it. And it was really, really well done. This woman really played Joan Crawford.
Betty Davis?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And... wow, now we're going to get really trippy because I want to tell you who played them in the movie and I'm fucking up. And it wasn't a movie per se. It was like a limited series, like I said, on FX. But it was funny. Bear with me. This is a deep rabbit hole. Who was married to the guy from Shawshank Redemption?
Tim Robbins. I don't know.
His wife. But you know who I'm talking about.
But I know who she is. Yeah.
So she's the woman who plays Betty Davis in the film and it's great. She was in Bull Durham. With him when they were young. That's where they met. I can't think of her fucking name, which is...
I know what she looks like, but I can't...
So she plays Betty Davis. And the thing is, Betty Davis was like a real actress. And Joan Crawford was pretty. So it's like having like Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera. Britney Spears was pretty and Christina could really sing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Christina got heavy because she started power drinking on the road. But she could still fucking sing. She still got heavy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Get a trainer, bitch. Goddamn, you're so hot. What are you doing? Anyway, not that I'm bitter. Britney Spears, there's a car crash. But these women played off each other for like years. They made that movie together. It was like a big hit. And they made a fucking a limited thing. It was really, really well done though. Like it was funny and it was like dark. And FX does some colorful shit. Did you ever watch The Shield way back in the day when it went there? Everyone heard of it?
I've heard of it, but I've never watched it.
Okay. There's a new show starting soon. It's weird because we're recording this at the end of March. This won't be out till like fucking May or some shit because we're like a lot of shows behind.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a show starting very soon at the end of March in 2019 called What We Do in the Shadows. And it's a spinoff of this weird film from fucking... what country is that from? New Zealand. About vampires. You just look so blank and bored.
No, I just never watched it.
It's fucking...
I mean, heard of it.
It's so good.
What's it coming on? 3, 6, 10? Or Fox?
It's FX.
FX.
I'm going to play the shadow for the original What We Do in the Shadows. I'm sorry, the trailer. So bear with me. So I made you watch the video, the fucking trailer for What We Do in the Shadows. You said you would watch it.
I would.
It's fucking funny.
It looks funny.
I love that shit. So they're making a TV series about it. I fear the TV series won't work because none of the stars are in it because they're all like kind of somebody. Like the Jermaine Clemente guy. Remember? Well, see, you don't watch anything, but they were in a thing called Flight of the Conchords.
Okay.
Never heard of
no.
it?
No.
Okay, that was on HBO for a while. And then he was in like... Men in Black 3, he's the villain. So, like, he has, like, a big career now.
Okay.
And then the director and the dandy boy, like, oh, the ghost cop. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He just directed the last Thor Ragnarok thing.
Okay.
So he's kind of a big deal, too. So they've signed off, and they're making a series. So the plot of it is there are a bunch of vampires from, like, literally, like, the 15, 1600s, and they're, like, alive today, and they like live in a house together. So, like, vampires in a flatting situation, a house flat, as they say. They're, like, roommates. It's all fucked up, man. It's like crazy. And then there's Peter. I don't know if you saw him in the trailer. He looks like he's a bald guy, like a bald vampire. He looks like Nosferatu from back in the day. He's 1,000 years old. He's like the grandfather vampire. Like, oh, Peter's not coming to the flat meeting. He's 1,000 years old. He's not coming. It's fucking great. And you compared it to Borat, which I thought was interesting.
Just the music in the background.
Because it was like Eastern European, kind of.
Yeah. And their jokes.
It's really good. But do you watch the Thor movies? Are you a fan of any of that shit?
No.
The last one, right? I'm not really into comic books per se. I'm watching the movies. I guess they're good. They're on Netflix and shit. And the last one, which is on Netflix now, he directed. It's really funny. Like Thor's doing funny shit. You're like, oh, it's kind of fucking cute and well done and not just raw, I'm Thor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the last comic book movie I seen was, oh my God, Transformers.
Now, see, it's weird. I'm in a band named after a Transformer, and I love the Transformers when I was a kid. I hate all the Michael Bay movies. They can all suck my dick. Like, they're just
atrocious. Well, I only seen the first two. I don't even know how many there are.
That's the thing. I saw, like, the first two, too. And when they would have, like, fist fights, not that you'd probably care as much as I care, it didn't look good visually. It was like, oh, you're a car crash. Like, well, fuck this movie. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't really ready for it. I have news for you.
What's that?
That music means we've come to the end of the episode. I do appreciate spending time with us in the Vex and Vex podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was cool. It got weird, you know? You had that whole, like, bed bugs on the booby thing, which I'm still a little obsessed with. But, Carolyn, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
My name is VexX, and this is the Vex and Vex podcast. It's been episode number 53. We are available on the Podbean application on your phone under the Loud and Loaded network. The Vex on Vex podcast is found everywhere that you listen to podcasts. If you're hearing this, you fucking know how to find the show. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. This is the beginning of year 2. Woo! This is VexX telling you to stay frosty.